But I think to your point, it's a good one, which is like, if it really is like this house might be burning down, like,
right,
call 911, right? Don't call me.
Welcome to Real Estate Hackers, where you'll hear how real estate investors grew something from nothing.
Property management is going to become more techy.
Our entire business today is based off of a hack.
What if you could put $1,000 into an apartment building project on your phone?
With YouTube, with podcasts, you can catch up very quickly to a seasoned investor.
Now here's your real estate hacker host, Chad Gallagher.
Folks, I am super pumped today. We have incredible guests. I've actually gotten to know them. My wife, Ashley, listens to their podcast and was bugging me the other day, why have you not had them on your show yet? So I sent them an email and luckily they decided to join. Sarah Karakayan and Annette Grant. Annette's last name is easier than Sarah's, but they're both awesome. Thanks for joining.
Woo, we're excited to be here. You are very welcome. Thank you, Ashley. Clearly the better half of the relationship here. Smarter, wiser.
Yeah, no doubts about that. Everyone who listens to the show, that's been well chronicled by many guests who know her. So so you guys, I love a little of your backstory. I know you're friends. I know you run an awesome podcast. Thanks for visiting. And you also own a bunch of short-term rentals. And you have a management company and you probably a couple other things I don't even know about.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's correct. Accurate. Yes, all accurate.
Where do you spend the most of your time? Is there a focus to the madness?
That has been our weakness, to be completely honest with you. It's interesting because we need to focus on the real estate. That's where we want to focus, but we love thanks for visiting. I'd say it's like, and Sarah and I both had other businesses. You said we were friends. We actually weren't. We were complete strangers. Started a business. We met at a city council meeting. And so we just love to always offer listeners and, you know, we're in our 40s. Sorry, Sarah, I'm putting you on blast here. And so I just want to encourage everybody that we're kind of on like career number two, both of us. And so we met at a city council meeting, completely strangers, but had a love for short-term rentals. We were fighting for our rights to short-term rent in our market and started a relationship there, which was like coffee dates. But now we have our podcast that airs twice a week and we're like 300 episodes in. But just want to encourage everybody, and I think yourself, like life changes, things pivot, and just continue to go all in on what brings you that fuel to your fire. But so right now, thanks for visiting. Like I just said, we have two shows. We have an online membership. We are in the middle of planning a conference that's next month. So it is a large percentage of our time, but then there's a property management company. Also, there are our own properties that we own. So we're one of those very balanced entrepreneurs, and we wouldn't have it any other way. So I don't think we can give you a good estimate on those percentages, but doing all the things.
You know, I love that. I think I love the like pivoting and but then going all in, I think is like a really interesting thought process. I think back to my own career and I've done it actually multiple times now. But I think it's like, it's not just being willing to pivot, but it's like once pivoting, then like becoming obsessive about the new adventure. And I found that if you do that, great things can happen. If you look at real estate, most people didn't start in real estate, right? It's not like someone graduated college and was like 22 and out buying short-term rentals usually, right? Like usually somebody had another thing and then moved into it like you guys did.
Yeah, only if they like come from a family that was storied in real estate and they have like a family office that's focused on real estate. That's the only time I've ever heard the story of they're right in real estate. It's more of a nepotism, or they've been brought up in that. And that story, believe it or not, to me is much more rare than I think we think it is. You know, you don't hear that story very often.
When I told my mom I was going to buy my first ever property, she started crying. And she wasn't, it was not tears of joy. She was literally couldn't get over the risk of real estate and said, why would you do that? You're an engineer. You went to school to be an engineer. You had this great career path. This sounds so risky. This was like 2012. But yeah, that's awesome. So, okay. I want to hear about, can we start with the short-term rentals? And, you know, one thing we do spend a lot of time talking about is tech around here. You guys seem like the kind of people who would be into technology. Is there certain tech that is really making an impact in short-term rentals right now that maybe you'd want to highlight?
Yeah, let's do it. I have a friend here in Columbus who is also a short-term rental operator. And I introduced her to one piece of tech last year. And she still, when I see her, gives me hugs. And like, she's almost near tears because it saved her. And as a property manager yourself in your past, you'll understand operations and how much goes into maintenance and just that preventative side of operations. And so it's a piece of tech called Breezeway that is my favorite piece of tech in our operations for our short-term rentals, because it not only helps you with the cleaning tasks, so you can add third-party cleaners to the site or your own employees, maintenance, preventative maintenance or maintenance that pops up, plus inspections and making sure that we always have an inspector go into our short-term rentals before the guest arrives, plus other tasks that pop up. Or it's got this great texting component where if we have an orphan night, it'll sell it for us on our like automatically. So Breezeway is like my favorite property care piece of tech, and it is life-changing for sure.
That's awesome. So that's like kind of your main back end system for making sure maintenance gets resolved. It's kind of all that's like kind of handled through Breezeway.
But let's expand on that. So like every day, like that's in short-term rentals, there's turnovers, which are very different than long-term rentals. So like the cleaning team, anybody on the team, like they are paying attention to Breezeway, and the turnover team, when they show up, they log into Breezeway. So we know, oh, they're there. They're on site. There are photos that are required after every turn for safety purposes. So it's a really nice trust but verify system. And they are building, they're actually getting ready. You know, they have so many integrations. They are breezeway.io too. So I think that's important to share with your audience. Like they have been in tech. The founder has actually sold a couple of different tech companies and just keeps iterating on where he sees the need in the market. And what Sarah just said, you know, they started as this property maintenance and now it's safety. Cause like, I'm going to give you a specific thing for instance, is like, let's say your turnover team or your inspector, hey, the hot tub had a cover and a lock on it at 3:42 PM. We left the property, everything in good conditions. Guest checks in 4:08, there's an incident that, you know, someone's in the hot tub, a child's in the hot tub, something isn't working. It's like, no. We have a photo that it was locked at this point in time. There is no way. Let's say a pool cover, a hot tub cover. Someone, you know, says that something's broken. No, we have a picture. The Wi-Fi was operable. You know, that the TVs were fine. Certain things that you can photograph. So it's just a way to really use tech to have your back in that he said, she said scenarios. Yeah. And what we love about it with this particular tech too, it's on your phone. You know, so anybody, again, maybe not everyone has a smartphone, but large majority of the population has a smartphone now. And so the whole entire team can really feel a part of the team by just being able to use it on the app.
Yeah, I love that. We used a piece of tech called AppFolio for a while, which is what you use coming long-term rentals. And then we actually built our own eventually. And it was like, without it, you couldn't exist. I mean, it was like that decision was the most important. So, that makes sense. And by the way, scheduling maintenance, I actually think it's the single hardest, most complicated thing. And I'll tell you, my business partner, Nate, he has this concept. I think he's right. The maintenance coordination person, whoever has to do that, has a shelf life of 2 years. That's his theory. After 2 years, if you're doing one home, maybe it's okay, but anything more than like a home, after 2 years, you've just had enough of dealing with contractors and the problems that come up.
I don't think scheduling the maintenance is the issue. It's getting the person to show up when it's scheduled.
It's all part of it, right? So like scheduling, then they don't show up, then you're left hurrying, have to find a replacement, then you're apologizing to the guest who's not happy. And
I will say this though. Yes, you're not wrong. And this is my life. And I've been not only
managing properties, but flipping properties for quite some time. And it's so hard. But the thing that I've learned and where property management for me is like a perfect fit for my personality. I used to work in hotels and restaurants, and I'm always thinking 10, 15 steps ahead. Like if I'm going to go to that table in the back, I'm going to make sure I'm hitting other things along the way to maximize my time and efficiency. And I'm going to prepare myself for something that could happen. So if you're listening right now and you're in real estate, and you're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to tackle this? Preventative maintenance will save you so much headache. And so if you go to the property and you have an HVAC issue, you know, have another checklist of other things that you can check while you're there. You might as well, you know what I mean? You might as well check the filter. You might as well also check like the smoke detectors. You might have this like checkpoint list that if you're in there anyway, you're doing it. Plus you've got some quarterly, yearly stuff that in Breezay will remind me, oh, it is time to clean out the ducts for the ducting for the dryers. It's time for me to clean out the dishwashers, and having that ready to go before the guest, especially in short-term rentals, is unlike long-term. It's easier to schedule that with short-term. And we're metro properties. So we have stays boom, 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 back to back all the time. And guests don't want to be inconvenienced, right? They're paying for their stay. So we got to get in between them. So we've got to be on top of it. So I will like, if you can prepare for the unknown as much as possible, it makes it easier.
That's awesome. How do you deal with emergency calls? I mean, I know in our business, you know, we really focused on long-term rentals. I know even in that business, emergency calls were tricky as we scaled. In the short-term rentals, even worse. Is there a tech solution to that? Or how do you think about like handling emergency calls?
There is a tech solution. There's a tech solution that we don't use just because financially it would impact us, but where you can tell Alexa, like the guest could tell Alexa, hey, I need XYZ. And it would contact whoever your overnight maintenance person is or contact is. For us, we can use Breezeway. The guest can, via the Breezeway messaging, that's what they've been chatting with us anyway, is via this messaging component. They can tell us and they can create a task for us themselves. And then follow us when we're like leaving our property and getting to the property and that it's been completed. That being said, and I'm going to knock on wood, this is the same thing that happened to me when I was chatting with a fellow property manager over a glass of wine. He was talking about chargebacks, and I didn't even know what a chargeback was because we didn't have that issue. And then I learned what it was. And then of course, now I'm stressed about it. But we don't have a lot of emergency calls, like knock on wood. Again, I think it's because we're obsessive about being preventative. But I hope now it doesn't happen, but if you're in a short-term rental and if you're listening right now, especially if you're a smaller operator, it's tough because you feel like you're always on call and you kind of are. Right. So to have some sort of like backup for your backup, if you want to be someplace and not be available and have someone and having also in your property, very clear instructions of what to do if the guest has an issue. I don't know if that answered your question, but that's how we handle it.
Yeah.
And I think separating like a true emergency, you know, like sometimes you'll call the doctor, like if this is emergency, like call 911, like, you know, that's where it's like, if it is a true emergency, we aren't the people that you need to be calling, but equipping them, knowing what location they're at, you know, what their address is. But that's kind of the thing too, is like, what's a guest, like a property emergency versus like a true emergency happening, you know, with the guests at the property, like being able to delineate what those are.
Yeah. I own one high-end short-term rental and they called one time at 9 o'clock at night on a Saturday. And this is a pretty rural area. And they said, we're smelling gas like everywhere in the house. Mm-hmm. And they said, can you get an HVAC tech out here? And 9 o'clock, by the way, 9 o'clock in Japan, anywhere to be tough. 9 o'clock in rural, like Maryland. And I said, look, if you're really smelling gas everywhere, call 911. Like, and they actually did. And it turned out we were just short on propane. And the at the tail end of a propane tank, it starts to emit a not great odor, basically to let you know you're about to be out of propane gas, which hadn't happened at the house. I hadn't even thought of that could be the issue. It was my fault. But I think to your point, it's a good one, which is like, if it really is like this house might be burning down,
right.
Right. Don't call me.
Right. Well, call me, but like, hey, my advice is like, you can't wait for me to get there. Like, we've got to, like, this is an issue. Like, let's call for
sure. Just in case anyone wants to know, like, there are, because our community, people listen to our podcast and they're in our, they own or operate, I would say on average, less than 10, you know? So it's really hard for these operators and owners because they have to wear all the hats. And there are maintenance companies out there that you can have contracts with for these emergency calls. And so to do yourself a favor and build a relationship with them before you need it, so that you have some that you can call for an it's that like HVAC issue and plumbing are the two biggest ones that if you can get a relationship either with, you know, a small operator or like a maintenance company that you just pay like a subscription fee to, especially if you're smaller, it can really be advantageous before something happens.
Yeah.
That's not tech, but you know.
It's interesting. So you guys own a service business, property management, and a real estate company, right? I don't know what that, like, you guys own a bunch of the properties that you have as short-term rentals, right?
Yes. Our goal is, so, you know, we have, I don't know if this is this video too, or is it just podcast? So, I'm just like showing my hands, but yeah. In one hand we have a bunch of ones that we own. In the other hand, we have a bunch that we manage. And eventually I want like the ones that we own to supersede / not need the need to manage other people's properties.
To tip.
That's the goal for us. We are good at operating property, but ownership has always been what's our North Star. But yeah, we do both.
It's awesome. Maybe talk a little about the marketing side. Obviously, it's interesting. People will sometimes confuse, like, call these things Airbnbs. I'm always like, it's not an Airbnb. It's a short-term rental. I hate that term. But maybe I'm just like a marketing tech guy at heart. How do you think about, like, do you try to, like, actually have a relationship with different websites directly, or how do you guys think about that?
Let's talk about the tech there. Number one, it's also just meeting people where they are. When I got started in short-term rentals, I only called them Airbnbs. I had no idea. I didn't know what a STR was. So I can like be that person. And it's like our, you know, we actually get some people that get really mad at us. Like, stop calling them Airbnbs or short-term rentals. We're like, hey, we're meeting the audience where they are. You're in marketing. You know, you've got to meet them where they are, or you were in market. So, yes, definitely short-term rentals. But what we want to talk about there is we really chat a lot about, you know, they're OTAs, they're online travel agencies, they're marketing for our property. And so lead that kind of as a segue. Absolutely. We use them. We love them. They are we can say, like, if we just had to like put our own website up and get bookings, we wouldn't be sitting here today. We'd have to be a lot more hustling than that, or have a different portfolio of properties. But one thing we want to mention when we come to tech is StayFi. And StayFi is Wi-Fi that we can collect emails from all of our guests. And Sarah and I always say our number one mistake when we started short-term rentals, Airbnbs, we were not collecting emails from our guests. I mean, our list would be hundreds of thousands of people by now. And it's not, because we were just letting the OTAs do the work for us, and smart on them. You know, they were collecting all the guest information, but now we use StayFi and we try to collect, obviously if they want to give it to us, all of the emails from not just the person that's booking the property, but every guest that's staying in the property.
Yeah, it's interesting. My wife and I just had this argument about our own property. She was pitching me on StayFi. She must listen to you, and it's been all about it. And I actually said to her, I said, I don't understand. Why can't you just get the guest's email by asking them what their email is, who the one you're coordinating with? But then later in our argument, she pointed out what your point, which is, you know, like at our short-term rental, we may have 15 guests there at any given time, and at least 10 of them are accessing internet probably when they're there. And then, you know, now you've opened up to a whole new pool of audience. Does StayFi actually provide the internet, or are they just on top of the internet as like an interface basically?
Yeah, they basically have an access point that connects to your modem. But they also now, and you don't have to do this part, but they also have an email provider on the back end that you could tap into, but they also integrate with the MailChimps and the other. So you can do something with those email addresses, right? Collecting them is one thing, and that's great. Yep. Then you have to, create a CRM for yourself, you know, and build a relationship with those guests, and not just ask them to stay with you, right? Like, how else can you serve the people who could stay there or have stayed there? But I would say for your property specifically, that yeah, State Buy is great. Cause I used to manage a giant vacation rental, sub 16 people. And that's how, well, it went viral eventually, but at first that's how we collected, you know, started our email list was the people who didn't book, who had to give us their information. But honestly, yeah, they loved their stay so much that they like appreciated the sensible communication.
What percentage of the bookings are you hoping to get booked directly as opposed to the kind of OTA route?
What you should strive for is definitely over 60%.
Wow. 60% direct.
Yeah. So that your business, I mean, you don't want to build your business on rented land. You know what I mean? Like, so if you're truly in this for it to be a hospitality operation, having over 60% direct booking, relationships with people, having a strong marketing, your own ads, that sort of business is really healthy. And as we talked about before we hit record, that also makes your business more valuable. The fact that you have these contacts and that your business is coming from your own relationships and not necessarily from the OTAs is like the stronger of the two between your direct booking and the OTAs. So that's our goal internally. And that's what a lot of people's goals are who are building short-term rental management companies
It's similar, you know, just think about it. Like in your funnel, you know, you've got paid ads, you have organic ads, and you have referral. So I think short-term rentals, you want to think exactly that thing because they're not paid ads, but you're paying the OTA for the booking. So you've got to have that paid, that organic and referral. And I think a lot of times people get into short-term rentals, they're not thinking about becoming a business owner and a hospitality business. And, you know, if we went to any, you know, business luncheon right now, they would talk, hey, what kind of paid ads do you do? What's your referral marketing? You know, how's your organic leads? And so I think Sarah and I, that's our mission, is to just have people think more holistically about their property as a hospitality business versus an Airbnb.
Dude, I love that. I mean, it's amazing. I have these people come on who are super sharp and we always pick up things I'm always amazed at. I love how you're framing the property as a business. I think that's like really interesting. And like, if you're trying to value the business and grow value, of course you would want people coming back and you'd want referrals. You know, if you go to sell it someday and you have this, you know, great list, it definitely solidifies your revenue. That's really interesting. I love that. Yes. Cool.
You said it. And Sarah and I have gotten debates about this of like, well, it's still at the end of the day, they're just going to go off of property comps in your area. Well, do they? Like, is that really the way the sale has to go down? No, that's you just saying, oh, well, that's just like, it's not a property like any other single family residential home. Like yourself, you have this luxury property. If you can back it up with the data and so you have a property and a business, you know, that's not something that just goes up on Zillow. You know, you and I were talking about mergers and acquisitions before we got on here. That's a private sale where you can back it up with data and it's not going to go for what, you know, you're selling two things. So it's you as the business owner, how can you sell it as two separate things?
That's awesome. Social media. Are you guys using Instagram? I'm sure you are. You guys seem like you're like Instagram champs, probably just like my wife. Are you guys thinking about like using Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that to like build traffic in those channels?
It's important for hosts to understand, especially our community, to understand that Facebook and Instagram ads are absolutely available to you as a small operator. And there are ways to run ads for your property or properties that benefit you growing those direct bookings. And so, yes. So in terms of social media, like Instagram being like, are you Instagram famous for your property? No, we're not. But building up our direct bookings via Facebook and Instagram advertising, yes. You know, that's, again, like that's something that it's very important to us to get
better. Does each property have its own Instagram handle?
That's an age old debate. And it really just depends on what you want to do as the operator. Like, what are you passionate about? If you love Instagram and you're like on all the time and that's your jam, do it. But you could also do it as an umbrella and maybe your highlights, you highlight different properties by their names or by number of bedrooms and baths or by location. You know, like there's so many different ways you can do it, but we personally have one umbrella. Yeah.
And everything you guys do is in like Ohio somewhere, Columbus. Is that right?
Right now. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool. That's awesome. Any other tech that's worth mentioning? Or do we hit?
Yeah. I mean, anybody in short-term rentals, they should be using some sort of dynamic pricing tool, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wheelhouse, Price Labs. Like, you cannot, in our opinion, leave that out of your tech stack. I mean, you just, it's aggregating too much information. You can't keep up on all of the things that are happening in your area. You are not, you're not machine, you know? So like, pay for it, learn how to use it.
Know that it's an art and a science,
right? Know that like everything that it says, like it might not, you know, you've got to, you're still the person controlling the revenue, but you, it's a really big misstep to not use a dynamic pricing tool.
And you don't want to use like the actual site. Like you don't want to use Airbnb or something like that. You use your own because you want to take control of that data.
Yeah. And that's where Sarah just said, it's an art and a science. Like Airbnb, dynamic pricing is going to work in their favor. They want the place booked, right?
Right.
We're, you know, you're a property manager. Like we don't think 100% occupancy is like a cool, like badge to wear. Something's wrong. Your pricing's low, you know, you need to, and your house needs to breathe. Sometimes you need to get in there and do some maintenance. So, I mean, 100% is awesome, but are you truly pushing your revenue to where it could be if you're at 100%? Probably not. I mean, I'm not a storied revenue manager, but we hear people all the time say these statistics and we're like, I don't know if 100% is actually that cool, because probably leaving money on the table.
Or we just had a month, we talked about this in one of our episodes. We just had a month back here in May where one of our larger properties, actually we were down in occupancy year over year. And we were kind of stressing out. We were like, because we didn't own this property. We represent an owner, and we might be one of the few property management companies that like, we probably care about your property more than you do. And we found out at the end of the month that actually, because our revenue manager's strategy was so strong, occupancy was down, but we made $4,000 over last year's revenue. So it was great. Yeah. And that's possible, especially in the short-term rental market, especially if you're more of whether it's vacation rental or metro market. Price Labs, Wheelhouse are both great options for dynamic pricing technology. And there's some really cool tech, like actual like physical tech for your rental that people love these days. You can do, there are just guidebooks that you can hit. They look like iPads, right? And you can put on your walls and have your guests interact with those to get email addresses or to share ways to operate, you know, the TV or the stove, the whatever. Or there's tech out there for, they're getting really smart, where like the one piece of tech covers things like how many people are in your home? Is it damp? Is there a water issue? Did I already say they're smoking? Are they being loud before they get loud? And well, they'll message the guests
for
you. So you don't feel that awkward, whatever. It's like, hey, this is noise aware. And we're letting you know that, you know, at this time of day, you are pushing the limits of what we agreed upon when you booked our place, yada, yada. Right. And so eventually it'll escalate to letting you know that they're not heeding these texts or these phone calls, and you can get involved before your neighbors have to, or authorities or whatever.
And do you guys use that in your stuff?
Yeah, actually we'll tell I always like to back things up with a story. This is Sarah's case in point. It's a device called Noise Aware. And we actually had a neighbor, this is like preventative stuff. Like, you know, they always market like, you had the party, like they get this huge influx, like after someone had a party, after someone had too many guests. But here's a very just interesting case use that you would never even, that, you know, you're not going to see it on their testimonial page, but very impactful. There was a property in a multi-family, a four unit upstairs, downstairs. And there was a long-term an owner, it was like a condo. The long-term owner knew that there was a short-term rental, which was completely above board HOA. It was approved, no big deal. Just what every guest complained that the guest was being loud, just to be like a curmudgeon and angry. And that's fine if it was true, but call the guest, would look at the reservation. There was one person. And this guy was like, you know, Noise Aware is decibel testing.
Is that what it's called? It's called Noise Aware.
Decibel monitoring. And like,
to the point where like this guy was reporting to the city. Like that is huge. That is like your license is taken. Like that'll end your business. Like business.
And this like, I get it. This like defends you and says like, hey, look.
Defend. Yeah. Like that's the thing where you don't think about it. Of like the city's like, oh yeah, he's like making up stories. So when you can have this tech, like no one's gonna like, you get he said, she said with neighbors, but you have this device that's literally sending real time accurate, you know, reports. No one has any leg to stand on. So that's where like, it you know, it might be an addition to your tech stack, something that you have to pay for every month, but that is invaluable to be able to keep your business alive.
Awesome. I love that. Yeah, it's shocking actually when you think about it, how much tech you guys are utilizing. It's actually quite a bit.
We got more. You want more? We got, look at.
You're not even done. You're not even done.
Oh, I mean, we haven't even talked about property management software. We haven't talked about tools that we have to use with our team to keep our team going.
Because there's just so much with, I mean, same with long term, when you have a ton of properties, it's one thing. Short term, as you know, there is so much that goes into making that 2x, 3x, right? Like it's not passive. Real estate investing is quite active.
And how many units do you guys manage?
22.
It's interesting. It's like in, you know, in the long term, each extra property you manage is a lot more work. I mean, like, I don't know how you think about it, but the, you know, in the long term space, like, you know, bringing on a property, you know, one person could probably manage like 100 properties if they were really good. Maybe not 100, but maybe like 75 on their own. 70, I don't know. But like in the short-term space, there's like no way you could do more than, I don't know what the number is, 5 or something like that, probably 7.
If you want a break, yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing is when you get in short-term, you're all excited about it. You want to host. Our community is, right? They're excited about those 5-star reviews. They're excited for someone to tell them that like the beds are beautiful and the wall is gorgeous. And oh my God, where'd you get this like countertop from? Like that's in our experience. There are other people who want it just for the money, but our community loves the experience of hosting. And then, but then you get into it and you are, I mean, it's part-time, but it's all the time. You never know when you're gonna get pinged. And then you feel like you're glued to your phone. And so that's where tech can help you with automated messaging and all that sort of stuff. And then building a team out where, okay, yeah, you're making more money, but what's that work-life balance, especially if you're not a professional operator, you know, you're just over here trying to build wealth for your family, that tech and building out a team and sharing that revenue with other people so that you can buy another property or whatever it is you want to do. It's so important, especially with short-term rentals, because the turnovers, the maintenance, the guest surprise and delight, the leveling up, especially in this competitive market that we're finding ourselves in post-COVID. Yeah, it takes a lot.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about like, you know, guest verification tech that's out there, having, you know, the guest agreement side. There's a lot that goes into it. So we'll have to do a part two of all the other.
Yeah, we're in for that. So you guys have a conference coming up. Tell us about that. What's going on?
We would love that. We would love anyone who's interested in short-term rentals, whether you want to own them, maybe you want to manage them, you want to clean them, you want to stage them. I mean, there's so many
ways. You want to build a piece of tech. This will be your audience.
That was good too. Because it is an educational conference about short-term rentals built by not only Annette myself, but also our community of things that we want so that we can level up, you know, our hosting business. So we're talking about short-term rental SEO optimization for your direct booking, other ways you can use your property other than short stays, like location rentals. So working with brands and influencers and how that's incredibly lucrative. And no, you don't have to live in LA or New York to benefit from that. We've got ways to raise capital, especially now with interest rates being higher. There are so many great ways to still get the deal done. And we will give you ways. I mean, our speaker is promising that you will have $50,000 or $100,000 before his end of his keynote. Plus we have HGTV's Good Bones star, Nina Starciak Hawk, who's going to give the opening keynote. She is not only a renovator herself, but is a short-term rental owner over in Indianapolis, Indiana, amongst other awesome. And we have a vendor hall with all the tech that we just talked about and more.
I actually think, so we held a conference once, which it was a shit ton of work. So congratulations. I don't know if you knew it was this much work. Is this your first conference?
No, the second one's harder.
Is it going to keep going or you're maybe done for this?
Ask us in October. We'll let you know.
Yeah. It's a ton of work, but I actually think the vendor hall is one of the unsung benefits of coming, because it, you know, it's one thing to just like put your name into a site. It's another thing to actually get a chance to kind of talk to these people and kind of go all the way down and make sure your like bases are covered with all the different things that you can access. Mm-hmm. Then you have the networking. I'm sure you're going to have like incredible people who you can learn from and meet and hang out with in Columbus.
Not tell your listeners where to find it though. It is tfvcon.com. So tfvcon.com. And then we are giving a code to your loyal listeners. It'll be hackers.
That's awesome.
Be for $150 off your ticket. So please use the code hackers. And we would love to meet everyone in person. If you have any interest in all at all in short-term rentals, you need to be there. Sarah and I really believe that getting in the room to solidify either your idea or get your next idea is important. So
and it's there. In Columbus, Ohio, which is so approachable in terms of getting here. If you're in the Midwest, we feel like conferences never happen here, which is why we are having it here, so that it's not in Orlando or Vegas. It's like Columbus, Ohio. Once you're here at the, it's downtown Hilton, you can walk to all the restaurants and what have you and just hang out with your new hosting besties. So yeah, thank you for letting us share that.
I feel like I should come. You know what's going to happen? My wife's going to listen to this episode and we'll probably have booked our ticket like an hour after it launches.
She already DM'd us about the ticket. So
this is what happens. She finds out who I'm talking to. Then she starts DMing people in the back end.
But here's the thing. You need this. You just told us.
All right. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. Can I drive to Columbus from Lancaster? Is that a thing?
No, it's a thing. You don't have to. You could fly.
Yeah.
We have an airport.
Does Columbus has an airport? I don't even know. Do you guys have an airport there?
Oh my gosh. We have people here. We got
to
get out
of here. Ohio City. They're all kind of the same, right? They start to kind of run together. I kind of forget like Dayton and Columbus.
No, they're not the same. So you need to be here. So they're not the same.
Okay, fine.
Columbus. Go online, check the stats. Not the same. And you'll want to buy real estate.
You will want to buy real estate here.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Real Estate Hackers Show. If you've not yet become a member of Real Estate Hackers, you can do that for free at realestatehackers.com. Get access to all of the amazing real estate hacker deals from incredible vendors, a ton of content and materials for you, the investor. You can follow Real Estate Hackers on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. If you can give us a 5-star review for the podcast, I would personally really appreciate it. We read every review, and thank you so much for helping us grow this community for you, the real estate investor.